Homily for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, November 13th, 2022, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. Many parts of North Dakota, including where I grew up, are pretty susceptible to prairie fires. All it takes is a prolonged dry spell in the summer or fall and some strong winds. It doesn't take much to start them. In one case, a few years ago, a sticky wheel on a rail car created sparks, and that's all it took. Farmers will hook up a disc or cultivator to a tractor and dig a stretch of a field, breaking the terrain in the hopes of stopping the flames and assisting firefighters. Anyone who has seen a prairie fire raging knows the raw power it brings. The prophet Malachi used this relatable metaphor in today's first reading to communicate the power of God. If we feel vulnerable when a blizzard, flood, or natural disaster comes along, all the more vulnerable would we feel on the day of judgment, if we put all our eggs in the basket of worldly goods and goals. At this time of the year, we in the church think about the end rather than the beginning. Here's what I mean. The calendar year begins on January 1st, but the liturgical or church year works differently. The liturgical year begins with the season of Advent. And since the start of Advent is just a few short days away, we're nearing the end of this liturgical year. It's no surprise, then, that today's readings speak about the end. Rarely do the scriptures feel more dramatic than they do when referring to the end times. Earthquakes, fires, plagues, and famines paint a chaotic and frightening picture. Small wonder, then, that when many of us hear these things, we automatically think, "Oh no, now what do I do?" Confidence and joy may be far from our minds. Why is this so? I think part of the reason is that we human beings want to be in control. The things that we cannot control, that we can't analyze through experience, we either ignore or shrink from. Death and the afterlife fall smack dab in that category. This doesn't mean we aren't curious. We're very curious, and that's just fine. At the start of today's gospel reading, Jesus' words about what will become of the temple really get his disciples' attention. The temple was the greatest masterpiece of architecture, not only in Jerusalem, but in the whole region. Doubtless it was the greatest man-made structure those people had ever seen, and one of the ancient wonders of the world. They want Jesus to go into greater detail, and he doesn't stifle their curiosity. At the same time, though, he doesn't provide a specific schedule either. When God wills for his Son to return is so deeply mysterious that not even the Father has revealed it. Jesus' point in what he says today is that Christians have an advantage whenever the day the Lord does return because of our abiding relationship with God. Awful and tragic things may happen in the world when the end comes, but none of those things can revoke God's salvation. That's why we can remain tranquil, even when the rest of the world seems to be thrown into panic. The Lord's disciples will say, "Praise God, this day has arrived," and not, "Oh no, now what do I do?" At this time of the year, it's important also to recall the list of the four last things, namely death, judgment, heaven, and hell. At the moment of my death, I will stand before Jesus, the just judge, as will each and every one of you, whenever that time comes for you. The record of my life will be open on a stand beside him, written out in a book, answering questions like, what did I love? What did I value? What did I live for? Our answers will be written in that book in permanent ink. We may be holding an eraser, desperately wanting to edit parts of it, but at that moment we cannot. Now that doesn't cancel out the mercy of God. The wonderful news is that we can find the remedy for the guilt of our sins whenever we want to, through the sacrament of confession. In that encounter, Jesus does not stay on the bench like a trial judge in a courtroom, banging his gavel, glaring down at us, and imposing a sentence. Rather, he comes down from the bench and stands beside us like a defense attorney who pleads our case on our behalf. In the Gospels, Jesus firmly stood by the reality and permanence of both heaven and hell. We in the church have to stand by his words instead of whitewashing them. One great example of this is a statistic I recently saw floating around on the internet. Addressed to parents, the statistic is that there is a 0.02% chance that your son or daughter will become a professional athlete. However, there is a 100% chance that your child will stand before Christ when his or her earthly life has run its course. So what kind of activity is important for us in the meantime? Let's take a closer look at one particular statement of Jesus in this gospel. You are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. Any sincere, committed Christian will face a test and cannot assume that he or she will escape it. But the test plays itself out every day. Either we defend what we believe, or we remain quiet and act how others would expect us to act. Now, if we profess our love for Christ as the Lord of our lives habitually, every single day, we will have no need to rehearse, so that on the final day we'll be ready. Our testimony will come naturally, because the Holy Spirit speaks through us. And the mode of our testimony will not just exalt ourselves, but will exalt him. Look at it this way. If I asked a happily married man, "What do you love about your wife?" He wouldn't say, "Gosh, let me think it over and get back to you." If he knows what's good for him, he won't. He would be able to tell me right then and there. Similarly, standing up for what our hearts are most attracted to is easy. Not like cramming for some sort of test. If we live each and every day truly eager and prepared to meet Christ, the timing and the circumstances of the end will make no difference to us. Even if everything around us should fall into chaos, Jesus is still the Lord. Amen.